The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
...of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome everyone. Let's see, it's October 15th, 2021 for the podcasters. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do, as usual, is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you, and I hope to hear from you. We have five open lines. All right, so today we had a meeting, and I'm asking that people pray for our people, our guys in Africa. There are some persecutions going on. And each time one of the guys is late, I'm always wondering, is he still alive? Because he's in Nigeria, and a lot of Muslims are killing Christians there, and the news media is not talking about it. But we get first-hand accounts and things like that. So we're trying to raise the money to get him more printer material, paper and toner, so that he can print up stuff. He's already printed up 19,000 pages of material, and they've been distributing it out. The CARM Statement of Faith, they've been doing Bible studies on the article on the right of self-defense, and people are acting accordingly. So praise God for all of that. And so that's just one issue. If you're going to pray for them, pray for their safety as well, and also for the footprint of CARM. Now, one of the things I want to talk about here, and I want you to give me a call, talk about this, what's happening in our economy. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have wide open lines. Give me a call. You know, I know that shortages are coming and stuff like that. So, let's put it this way, with the pandemic, I'm starting to call it now the plandemic. There's no necessity to do what they're doing really much anymore. I've been doing a great deal of research on COVID, a great deal of research on stuff related to it, the vaccines. It's very slow going because I have to be very careful what I produce, very careful what I cite. I have to read things in context. And I've been working on an article on the deleterious effects, side effects of the COVID vaccine. Now, you know, certainly there's going to be certain side effects to any vaccine, and that's to be expected. But what rate is it that is acceptable? And apparently there's a lot of stuff coming in. And it looks like not all the information is being taught and revealed. And I'm getting wind of this from different directions. But the problem is documenting it in such a way that, well, it's legit. And so what I'm going to do on the CARM website, on the COVID section, is I'm going to put a subheading in there just says, you know, anecdotes or people's stories. And that way, it's just their stories. This is what they've said. And we're going to have that as well. So you can pray for me on the research. A lot of people have sent information in. I spent yesterday categorizing a lot of the information into subfolders, and if you have more information on stuff related to the vaccines, COVID, people getting fired, quitting over it, the various effects, just send it to info@carm.org. Put COVID in the subject, COVID, whatever, and we put that into a single folder. I then go in, read what it's about, and then categorize the emails, and then do it in different subfolders, and then when I tackle that subject, I just go into that subfolder and see what people have sent. And there have been some very good resources that people have given. I don't want to give their names out or their email addresses out because I'm trying to be low-key about this, but I have replied to a few of them and said, hey, thank you, I'm going through this information. So I just want to let you guys all know about that. It's very, very slow. I take it very, very seriously, just like the article on the right of self-defense as Christians that are influencing people in Africa. All right, so there's a lot to pray about, and I would just ask that as Christians you pray for this ministry. And for those associated with the ministry, we are trying to get one of the guys in Colombia who was here years and years and years, decades ago, and before he was a Christian, he did some bad stuff, and he's trying to get it all taken care of so that it's, you know, before the Lord, all taken care of. He's not a Christian. He's our missionary in Colombia. We have another guy in Brazil, and we have a guy in Malawi, a guy in Nigeria, a guy in Turkey, and so we're asking for prayer for them for various reasons and stuff. Just lift them up in prayers, all right, and stuff like that. So praise God. I had a Bible study last night. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And the reason you may not find the Bible studies up on Carm YouTube anymore is because we've got an atheist guy who, oh man, this guy does not have all his paws in a litter box. And he's written over 50 emails to me. He's obsessed. And he's the one complaining and getting me kicked off of YouTube. And so this is, tells you, you know, the leftist YouTube anyway, they just listen, they don't care. And so I mentioned something about COVID. I can't do that. I can't mention COVID or vaccines or ivermectin or various things. Why? Because I can get in trouble for talking. And, oh, you're not a doctor. Well, this guy's not a doctor, and he's telling me what I can and can't do. And so this is the hypocrisy of the left, and I'm having to deal with that. So that's why. Okay. Oh, man, there's so much going on. So we have four open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anthony from Topeka, Kansas. Anthony, welcome. You're on the show.
How you doing, Matt?
Oh, man. Yawning, tired, and busy as all get out. So that's how I'm doing.
Yeah.
So thanks for asking.
I know what tired's all about. I work two jobs. So
oh, dude.
I have to pray for strength.
It's ridiculous.
But anyway, but anyway, as a budding apologist myself, like I've said, and I'm hoping to have a YouTube program of my own one day. My question is this: what do you say to someone who said that David didn't write the song? And the reason I'm asking is the late John Shelby's song made this statement.
Sheesh.
In
Spong doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
Spong, yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay. Actually, there's several writers of the Psalms. And that's it. No big deal. So the Jews collected them. No one says David wrote every Psalm. It just does, that's not the case. There's others who wrote, and they're collected either by David or others. So Psalm 3 is titled A Psalm of David, and so is Psalm 4 and Psalm 5 and 6 and 7. I'm clicking through. 8, there's a whole bunch of 9. So these things are written actually in the Hebrew documents where it says so. So there are places where David did not write a psalm. And let's see, I'm just going through to see if I can find some. Let's see. Wow, look at this. Boy, they're all Psalm of David. So go on later on. Keep looking. Oh, yeah, so like 47. Let me go to Psalm 47, see what that says. So, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Okay? So this is a psalm of the sons of Korah written. So it looks like Korah wrote some. No big deal. So what?
Mm-hmm.
So, but Spong.
Are there any books that give?
Yeah. What I would do, go to blueletterbible.com, look up Psalm 1:1, and see if there's commentaries that talk about the authorship of the Psalms.
Okay.
Okay. And so.
Yeah, I do have that app. I do have that app, by the way.
Yeah, it's a very useful app. It really is. You know, there are. If I were to. This is what I do, and I want to look for authorship. I literally go in my Bible program, and that's what I do. I start looking through commentaries, and I'm doing this right now, Psalm 1, okay? And I might go to my my topical information I have, and I just come in here and type in Psalms, a psalm. Let's see, and it gives me information, Book of Psalms, and then I can see. From the Anchor Yale Bible Dictionary. And I'm doing it just live, and I would click on that, and then I would learn and get just look for information on it, authorship, and various things like this. This is because Logos has a lot of books that are there. And so that's all I'm doing is just going through and checking it out. So there's Psalms, There's the Anchor Bible. There's the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. There's International Standard Encyclopedia. There's the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, the New Bible Dictionary. These are all resources I have. So what I would do is I would go through, if I was writing an article on the authorship of the Psalms, I would go through and I'd just go through them, because I don't know off the top of my head who wrote what. So I would just go through that. I'd also go through each psalm and find out the word David. I'd write, you know, David, and then these are the psalms that are attributed to him. Korah, these are the psalms attributed to Korah. Then I'd look up the stuff related to each one. And that's how you learn.
Okay, so what are a couple of other those books or dictionaries you mentioned? Just one or two, yeah.
Okay, so the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible is good. All right, and the okay. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia is good. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, at that time, if anyone likes Spawn, of course he's gone now. But there are little Spawns all around now. So if they say David didn't write the Psalms, you can say David didn't write all the Psalms, but he wrote some of them. And maybe I could ask them, "Where's your evidence?"
Well, it's in there. Here's like here's look, Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph, A-S-A-P-H. So people, what they'll do sometimes, like an atheist will say, "Hey, Matt, you know, I'm debating on the authenticity of the Bible." They might say, "Did you know David didn't write all the Psalms?" They'll say, "Yeah, what about it?" Well, then mm-hmm. how do you know they're inspired? Because the Jews recognize it as inspired. So what's the big deal? So what? Mm-hmm. You know, and what they want is for people like you, people like me, to come up with some big explanation, and then they just listen and tear the explanation apart because you've given them a bunch of rope. No, no, no. If they're going to, you know, say, well, you know, for example, Psalm 50 was written by Asaph, I'll say, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. And what about it? But where's their evidence he's not inspired? Well, how would they know? The Jews certainly knew, and they included the Psalm, that Psalm in there. Yeah? So what's the big deal? And it can't be inspired. Why not? Now, they're the ones having to deal with stuff. This, you know, so...
Right, even... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even, I think in Acts 4, Peter attributed Psalm 2 to David, inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Now, what can happen, you understand, let's just say that as David wrote the Psalms, let's say you find a phrase or something like that. What often happens, and this is what critics don't know, is that sometimes what the Jews would do is use a section of the Old Testament and refer it to the major prophet mm-hmm. representing that whole group. And they did that.
Right.
It was something that they would do. And so people say, well, that's not true. Well, yes, it is true. It's like this. Here's an example of something. They'll say, they call a bat a bird. And that's obviously wrong. The Bible's not inspired. And I say, are you thinking...
Yeah, I've had that before.
Well, the answer is this. What they considered a bird, by their definition, are the things that flew. So a bat flies, so by that definition, it was a bird. What you're doing is using a modern definition of bird and imposing it back on them back then. That's your mistake. If someone calls it a bird and they say, in the category of the Jews, all those things that have two wings that fly in the night and in the day, not counting insects and bugs like that, because they have different words for that, they call them all birds. Well, then okay. It's accurate because that's how they define it. You can't impose a modern okay. view on them and say, see, they're wrong because of our view now. It doesn't work like that. Okay, buddy? We got a break. All right, man.
Okay.
God bless, buddy.
Bye.
Right, Anthony. Talk to you later. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. 203 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Let's get to Marissa from Iowa. Then we're going to get to... an issue about whistleblowing. It would be interesting for that. Marissa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I was recently having a conversation with someone about medical freedom and body autonomy, and I mm-hmm. ended up finding out that this person calls himself a believer. They believe in women's rights to abortion, and they base that on the Bible. So he gave me a couple passages, and I just want to get your mm-hmm. thoughts on those.
Sure, let's take a look at the first one.
So the first one was Numbers 3:15, which he says talks about how pregnant women are only one person and babies only count as people after 1 month. One month from being born.
All right, well, let's take a look. Number the sons of Levi by their father's household, by their families, every male from a month old and upward shall number. That's talking about those who are born and only the males, and it has to do with numbering. And one of the reasons is because infants often died very early. So the numbering system has nothing to do with being pregnant in that context, nor does it having to do with abortion. Listen for the ripping sound of it being ripped out of context when they talk. Okay, go ahead. That's nothing
That's
to do with
what
it.
I figured on that one. Okay. Another passage he listed was, it was Genesis chapter 1, and he was saying that it says, when you draw your first breath, that's when God places a soul into your body.
Oh, because God breathed into Adam. So this is a definite creative work of the man Adam. We are all then born out of Adam and Eve. And so when Eve was created, he didn't breathe into her. He took the rib coming out of Adam in his headship and fashioned a woman. So the only issue of the breath going in is when we have that with Adam. So that doesn't apply either. You can't say that because it was done to Adam, that's how it's done to everybody else. All right?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. I got questions. You can ask them. But go ahead. Go ahead.
The last Numbers 5, he claims, talks about the Jews getting an okay on having abortion.
Well, I mean, what verse it is. You can say that, but without a verse,
he just mentioned Numbers 5, and I read the chapter. I don't see that anywhere, but I didn't know if you were already maybe familiar with that argument.
I'm scanning through it, and how many verses are there? There's like 31. So it's hard to just kind of scan. So I don't know. A lot of times, just like these other verses, they'll say, see, that proves it. What proves what? Where? And they'll show it to me, and I'll go, that doesn't have anything to do with what you're saying. So that's often the case. And let's see, in verse 13, I'm trying to find the verse. I can't find it. What he might even referencing. So he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's what I figured based off of what I read from the Bible. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on, how to intelligently have a conversation about those passages. Thank you.
Well, always read the context. Always ask them to show you what the context is, or the verse, so you can take a look. Now, here's some stuff that I talk about with abortion. And I ask them questions. I'll say, and I've written a whole section on abortion on CARM. And I'll say, does life begin at the womb? And the correct answer is no. It does not begin in the womb. It continues in the womb. Mm-hmm. The egg and the sperm are both alive, and they unite, and life continues. So the idea of life beginning in the womb is simply wrong. You ask them, okay, what is the DNA of those when life is continuing? Is it dog DNA? No. Is it whale DNA? No. Well, what is it? It's a human DNA. Well, it's human. You might say, well, a skin cell has human DNA. That's correct. So you're recognizing it has human DNA, right? That's correct. And you'll say, okay, so when, now here's the question you got to ask them. When it's formed and it's a zygote, which means it's a fertilized egg, is it human? And he's going to just say no. Okay, when it's born, is it human? He'll say yes. At what point does it change from non-human to human? At what point? If he doesn't know, then he can't have abortion because he can't say when it's human and when it's not human. Because if you don't know, you could be risking killing a human being. If he says when it's born, then my response is, so then you're telling me that simply in the womb versus out of the womb, by a difference by, say, 1 minute, because in a C-section, bloop, they come out in seconds, right? So let's just say in 15 seconds difference, you're saying from non-human to human, at this point it changes? So its nature changes? What do you mean? It's non-human. So if it's in the womb and has all the human stuff and it's not human, then what is it? Well, they don't want to answer questions like this. They don't want to talk like this because it's too difficult for them. And if they said, well, okay, so it's a human right before it's born. Well, how about at 6 months in the womb? How about at 3 months? At what point is it that it becomes human? And what changes the nature? And I'll ask them this. I did this with an atheist once. And he said, oh, my goodness, I'd never thought of that. And I said, so if it's not human, let's say it's a week old, 3 weeks old, 4 weeks old, now the woman knows she's pregnant, it's not human, correct? He said, that's correct. I said, then it should be okay to take that fertilized egg and put it in the dog of a womb of a dog, right? And he paused. Mm-hmm. He goes, wow. I said, if it's not human, then there's nothing wrong with that, is it? And he didn't know what to say at that point because he's like, no, it won't work. That's right, because the nature of the egg is human. I said, now what are you going to do? These are questions. And also, it's not the woman's body. A woman doesn't have two heads and four arms and four legs. It's not her body. It's another life within her. And it's an incredible privilege for a woman to be able to be pregnant and have children. And in this world where men simply want to use a woman's body for their own pleasure, and have the women pay the price of pregnancy and the emotional destruction of killing that life in the womb, which can be forgiven in Christ. But the men do this and leave the women out, so to speak, out in the cold to tackle this and deal with it. And the women justify their own sin by trying to get rid of the life that's in them. The mother then becomes the opposite of what moms are so great at. Giving, you know, nursing, nurturing, that love that women have. They now turn against their own bodies, if they want to say it's their own bodies, or they turn against the life that's in them. And when women start turning against their own children, that just tells you how bad society has gotten. Men are already pretty bad in a lot of areas. I'm not knocking men for being men, but we're also pretty stinking good in a lot of areas too. But in this context, when they do this, they're abusing their right as men, and they're abusing what belongs to a marriage bed, and they're taking what does not belong to them. And then women are killing the life that's in them and justifying by saying it's not human. There are lots of questions related to this, and they need to be answered. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Marissa, God bless, okay? All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll get on the phone with Renee from Arizona after the break. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Renee from Arizona. Renee, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, Matt, for taking my call and reaching out to me. There's not a lot of brave Christians out there, and that is the problem. That's the problem that we have in the world right now, and the mothers not being good mothers, the police not being good police, the nurses not caring for their patients. And I'm here to expose all the corruption, and I have it all on film in corrupt Kingman, Arizona.
Yeah. I know that there's a lot of things going on, a lot of hypocrisy, and the more I study this, the more I'm convinced that this is being used as a means of control. Now, I'm not saying to people,
correct,
don't take a vaccine. You don't take a vaccine, take a vaccine. That's just your business. I don't care. But when the government starts mandating it, they don't have the legal right to do that, and say that every individual must submit to a vaccine or be fired, things like that, that's oppressive. And if we submit to that, we're forfeiting our rights, and we can't do that.
I'm going to say something to your listeners that's going to be very shocking, and to you too.
that Nazi Germany did not lose. They run our country. NASA, Planned Parenthood, the eugenics, it's all here. The police, the nurses. The nurse that had me arrested for absolutely nothing knew exactly what she was doing when she wanted me arrested, because they wanted to expand their business, and they did. They got us kicked out by our landlord that doesn't live here in state, and believed the medical professionals' lies without listening to our side, and they had us evicted. And actually, that was a blessing from God. It's a jubilee. I believe that I'm being blessed. Well, it will turn to ash in her mouth. After today, when she realizes that I am exposing her and her whole beingness as a human being, she is a daughter of the world's most interesting man in Hollywood. So she comes from the disease Peterwood. Became a nurse. She's very unintegrous, and I'm going to expose her along with the policeman that bleeds her.
I have
it all on film. And that's,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just saying that you have it documented and stuff like that, and that's good. So you've seen this, and others have recognized this as well. And do you have any questions about any of this? Just curious.
Well. Yes, I do. I want to know how to get President Trump's attention, because I literally paid $10,000 to a lawyer in Scottsdale, Robert Grueler, who pretends to be a good guy, and he took $10,000, and I never even got one phone call from him, and I'd like to know what happened. So Trump said it was a swamp, and so the good lawyers are not even good. That's what I think has happened to our courts, because I had no representation at all. None. I represented myself the first time, got the corrupt judge to talk it down to $581. I appealed it, gave it to R&R Law Group, gave them $10,000, gave them 18 emails to which I never got a reply.
So
the corruption is everywhere, Matt.
Yeah, there's a lot of this. So people are emailing me, and I'm getting all kinds of information on things like what you're talking about. Like, you know, a video of you go in the door and the woman sitting behind the counter doesn't have a mask on and says, you got to have a mask. The inconsistency, the hypocrisy, or the people who pass the laws say they want us to wear masks, and then they don't wear masks when they go to parties. Or you got to get vaccinated, but they let the illegals in without being unvaccinated. Yeah, so the hypocrisy is there, and it causes people to become suspicious. Yeah.
They're Nazis. They're doing whatever they want. The corrupt cop knew that I couldn't fight, because the cop knows most of the lawyers aren't any good either. They just pretend. I'm a third business generation, generation business owner. I own a little water store called Aloha Water in Kingman, and I had no idea how corrupt the system was until I was arrested for nothing. The lady that was in front of me, that wigged out when she saw me without a mask in there for 30 seconds, was talking to three policemen and her boss an hour earlier in the same space on Rumble, on my Truth Above All. You can go to my channel and see it with your own eyes, that an hour earlier there were five in the same room and nobody cared. And they're medical professionals, right? And they didn't care about the COVID. They didn't ask anybody, did you get a shot? Do you have a temperature? Have you been exposed? They didn't care, because they were trying to arrest my husband at that time.
Yeah.
See, they called the cops on us twice, Matt. Only one day on our anniversary, our wedding anniversary, they called the cops on us and got us evicted by lying to the landlord. And everybody's in on it, and they know it's all a big lie, and nobody cares because they don't care about justice. That's what I'm saying to the people, that if you're innocent, they don't care. If you're guilty and they can help you, go for it. But he does not, my lawyer did not care one iota. I reported him to the bar, and after a month, I have not heard one word from the bar. Not one.
You won't.
Are they corrupt?
I would call up Christian? I just had the tip of my tongue and I lost it. Maybe the guy in one of the people in the room. AD, no, it's American Defense
ACLG, American Center for Lip.
Yeah, that's right. So once you contact them. And also, someone put in the chat here, if you want to contact Trump, it's the website is 45office.com. So,
thank
you know, try
listener.
That.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah.
I have contacted that and Project Veritas. Mm-hmm. And Project Veritas has replied to me and asked for information, which I did send them. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this. This all happened last year at 8:25 when all the when I found out how corrupt the world was, when I was arrested for nothing next by my next door corrupt business neighbor who expanded her business and tried to destroy a little family business. She's a very wicked woman. And I don't want anybody being watched by her. She's not worthy of being a nurse. She did try to harm me and my family. And that's not good. And she... go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, you know, I appreciate you calling. And, you know, if you have information and you know, accounts you can document
stuff... I have it
all.
What
you could do is, one of the things is just email me, and they're anecdotal and things like that. But more and more people are finding... that they're being treated very badly based on these issues. And the news media isn't really talking about it. But, you know, I don't know how much is happening. But if anybody out there is listening, got some stories, you know, email them to us, you know, info@carm.org.
Yes, and please, can I ask your listeners to do something for me if they would?
Well, I can ask.
Thank you for that one that responded to me with 45 Trump, and God bless you guys. Please, if you just look at my Rumble page, just look and see with your own eyes, your own ears, and because, like Jesus, I'm a liar, a lunatic, or I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth, you guys. Everybody is in danger right now, everybody. God has revealed, my mother died in my arms, 225 this year. I don't believe in coincidences. It was 6 months to the day I was wrongly arrested. She died in my arms as I was thanking her for adopting me as a Jewish mother woman. And she left like to say, be good to yourself. So be good to yourself. Your charities are your family and your children. Don't give your money to the Cancer Society. Don't do that. Give it to your children, nieces, nephews. They're not going to tell you how much they need your help, but they need it. So God bless every one of you. I thank you so much,
okay.
Matt.
Well, thanks for calling and letting us know about this.
Yeah, you're going to see me in the news. You'll see me with President Trump because I'll never quit. So,
okay. Hope so. Well,
thank
good.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. All right.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So, folks, why would I even talk about this kind of stuff, you know, COVID and vaccines? There's a reason. The Lordship of Jesus is in all areas of our life. And that's all. And, you know, I'm not a conspiratorialist, you know, it's all this is evil and all this stuff. But I'm saying, you know, when the government opens up the borders and lets illegals come in unvaccinated, then tells us to get vaccinated and penalizes us without having jobs or losing our job if we don't get vaccinated, that's just wrong. And a lot of people know this. And a lot of people are resisting. And then it causes people to quit their jobs, which means the government is going to step in and try and get more power. And this is the thing that scares me, folks. The government's going to get more and more power. This is a spiritual issue, ultimately. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. And so we have to understand this is a spiritual issue. And folks, pray and do what you can according to God's grace. If you've had the vaccine and you survived, okay, great. But you know what? We Christians need to stick together and be praying about all this. Okay, hey, folks, look, there's our last segment coming up. We have 5 open lines wide open. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. God bless.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. This is the last segment for this Friday. And, since no one's calling right now, one of the things I was thinking about doing is reviewing some of the stuff I found, which I've not yet released, on vaccines and stuff like that. Now, most definitely, the vaccines are working. I want you to understand. I'm not just saying, hey, they don't work. No, they do work. Okay, they do help. That's a fact. And I've got all kinds of documentation. Two doses of the vaccine remain highly effective with 60 to 85% effectiveness against infection, 90 to 99% effectiveness against hospitalization, and 90 to 95% against mortality. So there's lots of quotes like this that I've come across. The newly developed COVID-19 vaccines have established a safe profile, says the MDPI, which is peer-reviewed. And I've got a lot of other stuff like this. Now, there are accounts of things occurring. I found single instance accounts with one person. I got a list I'm developing out of that. Diffused prothrombotic syndrome, eruptive angiomatosis, lung squamous cell carcinoma. And these are all one person in studies that have got these. But cerebral sinus thrombosis is increasing. Myocarditis is increasing a great deal. Visual impairments. And another thing called zoster virus. This is what I found in just 1 hour of research. And my wife, for example, showed me some other stuff. We had a Bible study here last night, and this guy comes in, and I haven't seen him for a couple of years, and he comes in, and I'm trying to find this link where she sent it to me. He got the vaccine, and within I think 2 weeks, he had something palsy, and it developed. And so people are sending me this information, and I'm asking for people to send me more information. I'm not just looking for the stuff that shows something that's negative. That's not the issue. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to find out what is accurate. And so as I go through this, I'm doing more and more research, and I'm finding more and more stuff that is problematic. Now, one of the things I've discovered is... And someone sent me a link and said, take a look at this. And so I did. And I've got this information, and it's from assets.publishing.service.gov.uk. This is an official thing from the England government. And I'll be releasing this in a day or two or three or five, whatever. I got to go out of town probably pretty soon here for a little bit. But it says that for the Delta virus, for example, this is some of the research I'm finding. After 14 days after the second dose, that we have 157,000 cases, and the deaths reported there are 1,631. So this means that the percentage, and I've got this written down someplace, I'm going to recalculate it. The percentage is it's 0.1% of death. This is death after, here we go, 1.02% with the second dose. Check this out. This is vaccinated people, have a 1.02% failure rate or death rate for the Delta virus. With the unvaccinated, all right, when the unvaccinated and the same thing, that dies, the deaths. This is from their information. It's 722 out of 257,357. And that means that the percentage here is, let me get one last thing here, is 0.28. Now, I'm going to repeat this. This is from the SARS-CoV-2 variants of concern and variants under investigation in England. This is from assets.publishing.service.gov.uk, government uploads, etc. It's a PDF file, and the documentation is in that. And I reproduced the graph, and I have the documentation, where it is, you can get it. And I have the footnotes related to stuff in it, and it shows in there that people... after they've had the second dose of a vaccine related to Delta, the Delta COVID virus, It's a 0.12% death rate. And yet, without the vaccination, it goes down to 0.28% death rate. Why? Do you see that? It's roughly 30% more effective, or it's 60% more effective to not be vaccinated with Delta virus. That's what the numbers seem to suggest. Now, I'm still looking at this. Now, don't take my advice on this as medical anything, because when I produce this, when I release this information, I'll be putting in a disclaimer, but I'm also going to be putting in the links of the information, and you can go check. And this is interesting. Why is it that this information is not there and not being talked about? And this is official stuff from the country of England. And it turns out, and if you want information, you can't go to, I can't find stuff in America. It all is hunky-dory. It's all rainbows. And yeah, they'll admit a few problems, but for the most part, it's really, really good. And what I've been doing is quoting where they're saying it's really, really good. So the data from England, 157,400 vaxxed Delta cases, is 1.02% death rate. But without the vaccine, it's 0.28% death rate. Why? If the vaccines are so effective, why is it that those who are vaccinated for the virus have a 1.02% death rate, and the ones who are not vaccinated have a 0.28% death rate? Why? Now, this is alarming information. And this is only one of the many things I've found like this. Now, again, you got to understand that I'm a researcher and I'm a writer. All things fall under the purview of the sovereignty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If the facts show contrary, I'm going to tell you, the facts show that it's really good, it really works, take it, do this, do that. I would say it. If the facts show, the numbers show, there's some problems, I'm going to say it. And my job is to represent the truth to the best of my ability and not to just look for one thing. This is why in my article formation, what I'm doing is doing very little narration. I'm doing more and more just quotes. And I'm underlining the reference areas in the quotes. And I even say underlined added so that I can bring people's eyes to these things and they can go and look at peer-reviewed articles that are from professionals, from doctors, from the CDC, from whoever and whatever it might be, the place from England, a place from the Netherlands, a place from Norway, a place from Germany, where there's other stuff that's being reported that America is not really talking about. And so I'm providing the information because I take this very seriously. And the thing, which I haven't really written about yet, is why is it? Now, this is a spiritual thing, folks. This is why Christians need to be aware of this. Now, if you've taken the vaccine, fine, great. I don't care. Take it. Is it going to do it? I don't care. And but if you've not, you don't want to, that's your right. That's the issue. If you want to take it, you take it. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. But the government doesn't have the right to come in and without a law that's passed by Congress, the Senate, all of this, and then come in and say, this is what you have to do, and then put the obligation on corporations, and the corporations start saying, we're going to fire you if you don't submit to this vaccine. Why the oppression? Why the authoritarian foot on the back of your neck? This is what's concerning me the most. Why the authoritarianism? I believe that ultimately the reason is because that there is a movement for control. And you got to understand, this is also tied into socialism. Socialism is unbiblical. And socialism, the more it increases, the less rights you have. That's just how it works. In a democratic republic, we are a constitutional republic, actually. We're not a democracy, we're a republic, constitutional republic. A republic means we have a Bill of Rights that the federal government is not supposed to violate. And it's in the Constitution, that, and so it's a constitutional republic as representation. A democracy just means the majority wins. And people want it to say, well, the majority is the one, the way it's supposed to be. That's why we have the Electoral College, because it didn't want it to be just a flat-out democracy. They wanted it to be a republic and a constitutional one at that. This is why the Founding Fathers did this. And they limited federal government power and gave power to the states. This is what they did, and they were smart for doing it, because when the power gets centralized in one area, those in power tend to do more and more to keep that power, and the way to do that is to become more oppressive. This is what socialism brings. The people who think socialism so great are just nothing more than jackboots. They're brown shirts. They are useful idiots. Now, the term useful idiot is a phrase out of communism, where the populace who thinks that they are doing what's great as they promoted communism, I think it was Lenin or is it Stalin who said this, they're useful idiots. They don't know what the real issue is, and we're using them because they think they're fighting for righteousness' sake. But they're doing the things that the oligarchy wanted in order to gain power. That's where that phrase comes from. Now, jackboots deals with the high boots that were worn by the Nazis, and a brown shirt is in Nazi Germany. They turned in their neighbors. They turned in their neighbors to the state. These kinds of movements, these combination of things, of socialism, which is a step closer to communism and Marxism, this can only occur when there's totalitarianism. That means that totalitarianism means the state gets more and more control and more power over you. In order to do that, it takes away more and more of your rights. Now, I recommend that you read the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from God. They don't come from the state. But if the secularists say that the power comes from the state, then they can take away your rights, because they say the state gives them to you. But if they all believe that God gave them to you, then they're going to be subject to God, and they're going to be more fearful about what they do and more careful what they do, but they don't. So the socialists are in control, and they're moving us more towards socialism, and part of the means of control is to never let a good crisis go to waste. So the control markers of wearing masks are there in order to make sure that the population is obeying what needs to be done. And part of this also, I believe, or I suspect, in my opinion, is the forcing of vaccinations upon the populace to get them to submit to the authoritarian control. So to me, all this is tied together. Ultimately, I think it's a spiritual issue as well, because this ultimately means that the power that they believe in resides in themselves or the state. It does not. There's also something above them that is always the case. There has to be a terminus in what is ultimate. The terminus is either God or it's themselves, but they don't know that it's a spiritual issue, and there's a demonic force, in my opinion, behind all of this that wants to ultimately quench this preaching of the gospel. And that's why control is mandatory to stop those with independent thinking. Christians are supposed to be that. That's my theory about everything. What do you think of that? Write me at info@karm.org and let me know what you think. All right? Have a great weekend, everybody. God bless. And by His grace, we'll be back on air Monday. We'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.